Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
See, there's a natural desire that we all have for catharsis. That's a psychological term that means you want to get it off your chest. we want to get that burden out. We want to tell somebody. And that's why in the letter to James it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. So that's one of the steps in healing, is that you confess, that you share, that you tell somebody what's going on in there. And, you know, we want to try to make the confessional, or the reconciliation room, we call it now, because that's what it is. We want to make it a place of forgiveness for you. See, you can confess to your neighbor at the fence, or to your bartender, or to your hairdresser, or to your sponsor. That's one aspect of confession, you know, the actual confessing. But that doesn't include the two other elements that you need, which is healing and forgiveness. Confession's one part of it. But the sacrament of reconciliation is all about confessing. There's three elements: confessing, healing, and forgiveness. And that's what we mediate to you. Priest doesn't forgive you. We mediate the wonderful grace of God to you. It's not I that forgives you. We absolve you in the blood of Christ, who died for you on the cross. That's the beautiful thing. So really, confession is all about these things. It's all about confessing your sin, being sorrowful, wanting to change, wanting to be healed, and wanting to be forgiven. And I guarantee you, just like that image I gave you to begin, God's waiting. You know, the only thing that needs to happen is for you to make a move. And God is so rich in mercy and forgiveness and love. And that's why I love being a priest and reconciling people to God. Do you know that St. Paul of the Cross, our founder, the founder of the Passionists, not St. John of the Cross, St. Paul of the Cross, he said that he used to preach, and he was a great preacher, he used to preach these missions in order to get people to go to confession. Because he figured once they're in the confessional, that's where the healing takes place. That's where the change will happen. That's where the mercy comes. That's where the wonderful grace of God flows. And I agree with them. You know, wonderful things happen in the confessional. So let's look at this. I really believe that God will do his part, which is forgiveness for all of us, and healing right where we need to be healed. But we got to do our part. And where do we need to be healed? Well, let's look at that really quickly. We need to be healed of the guilt, the shame. We need to be healed in our relationship with God. Three areas: the guilt and the shame, our relationship with God, and we need to be healed of the issues that we're dealing with, whatever sin is in there. So that's what we need. I remember I was walking one time on the beach. It was Memorial Day. That's in May. And I was down visiting my mom, and I'm walking on the beach, and you know, the beach was full of people. It's Memorial Day weekend, and it was Monday, and everybody's there. And I mean, there's cigarette butts on the beach, and there's sandcastles and litters and litter and bottle and footprints and tire tracks and all this stuff. And I'm looking, I go, look at this beach. It looks terrible. It's all a mess. Well, I went home the next day. I came to run on the morning, Tuesday morning. Everybody's gone to work now. And I go down there. There's like no people. Well, the waves had come in and washed the beach totally clean. It looked like a virgin beach. And I mean, it was beautiful. No sign of any of those scars or ruts or brokenness or litter or garbage. And you know what God's mercy is like? It's like these waves that just flow over us. The anointing breaks the yoke, the Bible says. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the grace and power of our Heavenly Father that just gets in there and cleanses and heals. We've got to trust that. Remember last night I was talking about trust? One of the areas you got to trust is that God is for you, not against you. You got to trust that you are forgiven, and you got to trust that he is healing you in the issues where you need to change. And he does. You got to trust that. Even if you don't feel it, even if it doesn't seem like it, even if it seems like nothing's happening, you got to walk out of here tonight and say, I am reconciled. I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God, and I'm on the way to heaven. And God is changing these areas in my life that I need to be changed in. So as I said, if you do your part, God will certainly do his part. So what's your part? Well, certainly go to confession. But more than that, our part is this. We have to confront our issues. That's kind of a watered-down term for our sins, but let's look at that. You see, unconfronted sins and unconfronted issues will never, ever change. You can write that one down. Unconfronted issues and unconfronted sins will never, ever change. The grace of God is there for us, but if we're not willing to do our part and take responsibility for our spiritual life, nothing's going to happen. AA has a saying, Alcoholics Anonymous, which I'm very familiar with their spirituality, having preached some retreats to them. It's a beautiful spirituality, the 12-step spirituality. They have a saying, you're only as sick as your secrets. And that's what I mean about you have to confront what's in there. And as I said, confession is cathartic. If there's something about it, you know, you unburden yourself. You're not alone anymore. See, diabolical means to divide. And what Satan wants to do more than anything, he wants to divide you away from God, he wants to divide you away from your relationships, and he wants to divide yourself. He wants you pitted against yourself, self-sabotage. And if he can divide you, he will conquer. And what reconciliation is all about is about oneness with God, oneness with the community, and oneness with yourself. And that's really the healing that we all need. So you have to face your issues. And more than that, not only do you have to look at what your issues are, and I'll go into some in just a minute, you have to go beneath what the issue is to the root of it. See, a lot of people just deal with in the confessional, and this is so key. You know, I've been hearing confessions now for 14 years as a priest, and I've been really working. Why aren't people getting healed? Why aren't they changing? Why are they coming to me and saying, Father, I just say the same old thing all the time, and nothing seems to be changing? Well, this is the reason I believe. The grace is there. I mean, God's there. He loves us, and he's ready to heal. What happens is, I think a lot of time people talk about the fruit, but they don't talk about the root. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you ever got a dandelion, and it's growing in the field there, or in your yard, you know what dandelions are like. They're pesky stuff, you know, like the squirrels. And you pick it, and then the next day you come back and there's another dandelion. Why? Because you didn't get the root. You know, you got to dig deeper and get that root out of there. You go to your refrigerator and you smell something. What is that? There's something in there that's not working. And if you just take like aerosol spray and you know, it goes away for a little bit, and then the next day it's like, it smells worse. No, you got to get what's in there out. You know, you got to look and see what is it that's causing that smell. And it's the same thing with confession. You know, when I'm preaching here tonight, can change your life. And you know it. Because we're going to go deep tonight. We're going to get to the root of things. So let's take a look at anger, for example. In the confessional, you know, maybe you're not an angry person, maybe you are, I don't know, but it seems that, you know, in the confessional, that's probably the number one thing that I hear. If I remember Family Feud, the survey says, you know, the number one answer. It's anger. You know, people are angry. They're angry at their spouse, they're angry at their house, you know, they're angry at their job, they're angry at their dreams, their broken dreams, and some people are angry at God. They can be angry at themselves. You know, there's all kinds of anger, and that anger can really eat you up, it can turn into bitterness. And basically, you know, there's two ways that you can handle your anger. You can explode, or you can implode. You can affect other people, or you can take it all out on yourself, and you'll end up being depressed and in despair because of your anger, because you stuff your feelings. But before I go on, let me say this. It's not a sin to be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. And that tells me that you can be angry without sinning. Anger is just an emotion. It's how you manage your anger that's key. And as I said, you know, you can explode at people and be all pissy and have a bad attitude and everything and take it out on your kids. That's sinful. Just because you're angry, or you can, I think it's just as sinful to implode and take it out on yourself rather than manage it in a good way and get into the roots of it. Now, what's the roots of anger? Well, you know, if you really look at it, I really believe it's unrealistic expectations, for one. If you have unrealistic expectations, like I ought to be able to just drive from here to Colfax, there ought to be no traffic, no lights, no nothing, I ought to be able to, then you get behind a slow truck and you're all ticked off. That's an unrealistic expectation that there's not going to be any traffic. And that's the way we can be with many things, our dreams, our visions, our job, our family. Or you can be a very perfectionistic person. You always want things to be exactly the way you want it, and it has to be perfect, and if it's not, you're angry. Or you have to be in control. Usually it's controlling people that are very angry people. In fact, I think one of the roots of alcoholism is wanting control, and you can't have it. And when you can't be in control, you grab for something that you can control, or you try to hide from the fact that you can't control it. And so you start drinking. Or you can be brought up in a family that's your family of origin where your dad was angry and you just kind of learn that way of responding. So your family of origin, perfectionistic, controlling, unrealistic expectations, that's what you need to be confessing. That's the roots. What if you come in there and said, "Father, I was angry 5 times. What good's that? You know, some people can count their anger for the last month, how many times? No, what you say is, "Father, you know what? I've thought about it, and the Holy Spirit will help you tonight to get to the roots." Just say, "Come, Holy Spirit, help your people to get to the roots of their issues." Trust that. What if you come in and just say, "Father, you know what? I've thought about it. All my life, I've been a controlling person, and because of that, I've taken it out on my kids and my wife. She's the love of my life, and I'm angry toward her. And it's not her, it's me." That's the thing about blame. You ever blame somebody? You point the finger at them. See these 3 fingers? Pointing right back at you. Maybe 1 for them, 3 for you. So, you know, that's the stuff, really, I believe that you can experience healing in. If you're willing to look not just at your issue, but the root of your issue. That's one. What about gossip? Because, like I said, I don't think you're the biggest sinners in Grass Valley, so gossip is something I think tears up churches, for one thing. Gossip about your pastor, the associate, the deacon, you know, the way things are, why don't they do something, and, you know, you start spreading these things. That's how strife occurs. You know, the new building project. Well, you know, gossip happens to the best of us. And let me just say, I live in a community of 8 guys, and sometimes, you know, the best, you know, we're good people. We love God. But sometimes you ought to hear us. We're like, bip, 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 about, you know, each other. So we had this community meeting. As I told you, I confronted one of the guys about our relationship. Well, at that same meeting, I get real vulnerable, real intimate at these meetings. I said, I have to be honest with all of you. I have gossiped about each and every one of you. And I know you've gossiped about me. And more than that, I have established a relationship with some of you based on gossip. And that's terrible. You know, to actually be friends with somebody because, you know, we gossip together. And that, what else do we have in common but talking about the superior? And so I said that publicly, and I said, I want to tell you right now, I'm going to stop. I've had it, and it's ruining my spiritual life. And I don't want it anymore. And then the superior spoke up, the one we were all gossiping about. And he said that if I ever gossip, if anybody catches me gossiping, stop me. And I thought that was beautiful. Nobody else said anything. I don't know where they're at with the issue. But the bottom line is, I can't control everybody else. I can only hopefully control me and my honesty and my sincerity. And I don't care. You know, I'm an open book. Read my books. I talk about everything and anything. You're only as sick as your secrets. You know, and that doesn't mean that you stand up in front of everybody and air your dirty laundry. But it does mean that as you get down deep and you get to the roots, you will experience healing. So I think gossip is a major sin that people are going through. And you know what I think about gossip? Don't just go in and say, "Father, I gossip." You know what it was? You know what I want? I want approval. I want to be accepted. I want people to like me. That's why I was gossiping. That's the deeper issue. So what if you go into the confessional and say, "You know what, Father, you know what? All my life, I've tried so hard to live up to other people's standards, and I want their approval, and I'm addicted to approval." Or, you know, I want to be accepted, and so therefore I'm gossiping. You start confessing something like that, you're getting to the root. And then the gossip will change. See, because I realize as I examine myself, that's what I'm doing. I just want to be accepted. I just want approval. And I don't need that. I mean, I'm approved by God. I'm loved by God. I accept myself. I don't need that. I want to build relationships based on justice, not sin. And then, you know, let's go into other issues here since we're trying to get change here. And I'm talking about, remember, don't just confess the fruit, let's get to the root. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit, as I'm airing my dirty laundry, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart right now and saying, you know where you need to change. And let's look at the root of this. And what about lust, for example? You know, on Sunday, I guess I was watching on TV, it was national, that some of the churches had this National Pornography Sunday. And do you know that the number one industry on the internet is pornography in terms of dollars? Because now it's anonymous and it's so available. And good, holy, prayerful, church-going people and ministers are getting into this because it's appealing and it's so available. Well, what's the root to this? Well, discontent. You're not content, you're not satisfied, even deeper than that, maybe you're just not growing up, immaturity, not able to control, self-control, manage your urges. You know, if this stuff isn't talked about in church, where is it going to be talked about? You know, we need to get deeper here and say, you know what, I can be free. I believe that you don't have to be held captive by anything. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you're going to be free indeed. And I always like to say that I preach liberation theology. I'm not talking about South America. I'm talking about being liberated through Christ. And that's what I want for you. I preach with intensity, with sincerity, with honesty, because I'm not here to just make you laugh or tickle your ears. I'm here to really help you grow and go forward. And really quickly, let me just go through a couple others. Alcoholism. I've noticed or any addiction, shopping, gambling, overeating, whatever else there is. It could be pornography, it could be drugs. I've noticed that, and this isn't spoken about a whole lot, I've noticed that elderly people people that normally don't drink all their life can get toward the end of their life, maybe they'll lose a spouse, maybe their dreams were broken, whatever it is, and they start to drink. And they're ashamed of it. They don't want to, but they yield to it every day. And one of the symptoms of alcoholism, the disease of alcoholism, is patterned drinking. Well, anyway, you know, what's the root to this? Are they a bad person? No. Are they a lush? No. But, you know, there's despair, there's loneliness. I think with overeating, for example, if you get to the roots of it, it's a bad self-image, low self-esteem, rejection of self. It could be, you know, maybe you're ashamed deep within of something. So what you do is you drink to cover over the pain. So that's what you need to confess. Not so much that you're an alcoholic or that you're drinking or that you're viewing pornography or this and that. Yeah, say it, but I'm going to ask you, what's your root? What do you think the root is? What's behind this? What's the roots of the dandelion? And in the Alcoholics Anonymous program, when a person comes in and into the program and they start discussing with a sponsor, they're trying to get to the roots of their alcoholism so that they can recover, so that they can grow. And that's the same for all of us, you know, with our sinfulness, with our issues, whatever it is, anger or sloth or gluttony or lust, or pride, or whatever it is. You know, you don't see prideful people going to confession a whole lot because they're too prideful to humble themselves to do it. Now, really quickly, now I've talked about the fruit and the root. Now, let me go a little bit deeper with this addiction thing. There's an anatomy of addictions and the reason why people get addicted. And let me just say this very quickly. I really believe that, as I've studied it, first of all, whatever it is, shopping, overeating, gambling, drinking, drugging, you know, pornography, whatever it is, the first reason why people do this is because it feels good. They want it. They want comfort. They want pleasure. We love pleasure. We love excitement. And the only thing is, as psychologists say, we are an interesting breed of human beings. Human beings are. We have what's called an escalating scale of excitement. So what I mean by that is, if you gamble a little bit, that's okay for that day, but the next time, you want to gamble a little more. And then a little more, if you shop, that's good. And then sometimes you want more and more and more. It's escalating. You're not happy until you have more and more and more. And so that's the first reason that people get into addictions. Pleasure, comfort. They want excitement, whatever it is. Second reason, really quickly, and I think, this is part of the healing process, is understanding what's going on in us. And why am I like this? Paul said, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't know why I do it. Well, these are some of the reasons, folks. You got to get to the root. We got to get to the, and I really believe that self-image is so important, and self-esteem. Many people reject themselves and hate themselves. Good people that are really lovable, and for some reason, they just believe in the lie of the devil that you're no good. Well, you are good. Jesus died for you, and he loves you very much. So the second reason, first one is we love pleasure. Second thing is we're trying to escape from the pain. What pain? Well, maybe you were abused in the past. Maybe you had a sibling that your parents favored over you, and that hurt, and you never felt you were good enough. You're not good enough for your dad, your mom, your spouse, your kids, and that hurts. So what you try to do is you escape from the pain by anesthetizing the pain by drinking, shopping, the addiction of choice, whatever you want to do. So it's an escape. So there's the pain without, and then there's the pain within. Many people, as I said, you have a shame-based nature, you feel guilty, you don't like yourself, low self-esteem, low self-image. You drink to escape that pain. And I'll tell you, pain is hard. It's hard to look within. It hurts to face the issues. It's hard to admit that, I have shame within, or I have guilt within, or I don't really accept myself, or I have low self-esteem, whatever it is. It's hard to look at that. It's hard to confront the issues. It's hard to get to the roots because it hurts. But I'll tell you something else. It's a lot harder staying in bondage, in the cycle of addictions that keep happening, in the sin, in the issues, and not changing. That's the hard part. That's the painful part. And it's much easier to face your pain, confront your issues, and move forward. So pick your pain tonight. There's the pain of slavery, and there's the pain of freedom. You're probably saying, Father Cedric, you're really excited about this. Well, this is what the retreat's about, folks, you moving forward. And, maybe I'm aggrandizing it. Maybe there's none of these issues in the room tonight. I don't know, but I think there is. And then the last one, first of all, we're addicted to pleasure. We're escaping from the pain of outside influences. We're escaping from the pain of inside stuff. And then the last thing is, this is why people get addicted. We have a God-sized hole in our heart that only God can fill. And we have a holy longing. And what we're trying to do is fill up that longing for God with other things, and it doesn't work. That's why people are addicted. And if they would just understand it and face their issues, whatever it is, you don't even have to be addicted. Anger, gossip, laziness, all these different things. Get to the root. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I believe that you will experience mercy, healing, and change. You do not have to live as a slave. You are a free person. That's what the Bible says over and over again. Walk in the freedom that is yours in Christ. And really quickly, let me just go on here just a couple minutes. I get this call on the phone from a woman. I'm in the monastery. And she said, are you a priest? And I said, yes, I am. And all of a sudden, she didn't want to know my name or anything. Just wanted to know I was a priest. That's the trust we have. And she said, Father, she said, I have a drinking problem, and I need help. And you know what I said to her? I said, ma'am, you're in a good place. She said, Father, I just told you I have a drinking problem, and I need help. And I said, yeah, you're in a good place, because one, you've admitted you have a problem. She's facing her issue. And number two, you're asking for help. And that's the key. See, that's what a lot of people don't do. They won't confront the issue. They're only as sick as their secrets, and they won't seek help. And then the third thing is, you got to surrender. So how do you change? God will do his part. He'll welcome you back. He'll love you. He'll forgive you. He'll help you be healed. What's your part? Take responsibility for your life and your issues and your sins. Confront them. Get to the root of them. I've tried to help you to understand what they are and where they've come from. And then go forward and quit looking back. Remember Lot's wife. She turned into a pillar of salt. That's a parable for all of us. You can grow. You can change. That's the name of my book. You can go forward. It is possible. Don't believe the lie that you're stuck. In the name of Jesus, get unstuck tonight. Move forward. Go forward. Those of you listening by CD, you can change right where you are. Take responsibility for your life and go forward. Well, I'm big on something called surrender. How does an alcoholic change? Not by his own efforts or her own efforts. It's by God. That's why on the front of the book I had the change leaves with the cross on it. It's by grace that we change. So what you have to do, and as I said, most people that are addicted are very controlling, and they lose control. And ironically, the way back is by surrendering control. You know, you have to, first of all, admit that you have a problem. Second of all, that you're powerless over the issue. And third of all, you surrender to the one who's got the power, and that's God. So that's what I'm going to ask us to do. That's why the act of contrition is geared towards surrender. And I don't want you to just be, you know, this quick act of contrition, and I did my act of contrition. No, I want you to really surrender in a minute. In all of this, as I end, in the context of your father, remember what I said about sin? It's always in the context of a relationship. And your father tonight is saying, I love you. I forgive you. I want to heal you. And I want you to change. And you can do it with my help. Surrender to me. Trust me. And let's go forward. Not backwards. Not stay stuck. But let's go forward in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.